There must be some significance in someone or something being the last in chronology. Listen to these book titles, some historic, some fiction. We have The Last Day, The Last Mohican, The Last Stands, The Last Patriot, The Last Goodbye, The Last Frontier, The Last Survivors, The Last Battle, The Last Gunfight, America, The Last Best Hope, The Last Palace. Well, our message today fits right in with these titles. And the reason I can say that is because we are going to look at the last kings of Judah. Following the death of Josiah, there were no more good kings of Judah. The nation of Judah, which had begun with so much promise under David, was now in a tragic spiritual decline. And this failure would culminate in its fall to Babylon. Now, as we study these last four kings of Judah, we will clearly see that God's holy anger permeated every detail of this final chapter of Judah's history, which tells us God is long-suffering and patient with sinners, but there does come that time when he must judge sin because he is a just and holy God. And in this message, we'll clearly see his chastening hand on these last four kings of Judah and on the nation of Judah itself. Again, this morning, our focus will be on these kings whose names are Jehoahaz, Jehoiakim, Jehoiachin, and Zedekiah. Well, the first king that we want to look at this morning is Jehoahaz. Though he, being the middle son of Josiah, was chosen by the people to be Judah's next king. And Jehoahaz, whose name means the Lord has seized, was 23 years old when he began to reign. And you can see that in verse 31 of 2 Kings chapter 23. Now, his three-month reign is described for us in verse 32, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. The wonderful reforms of his father, King Josiah, were not long-lasting. The son did not follow in his father's godly ways. Now, when Pharaoh Necho defeated Josiah at Megiddo, and you can see that in verse 29, Judah fell under Egyptian control. Thereafter, when Necho summoned the newly appointed Jehoahaz to Riblah on the Orontes River, about 65 miles north of Damascus, to help him in his coming encounter with the Babylonians at Haran, which was a city even farther north, he had evidently judged Jehoahaz to be an uncooperative vassal. And so Necho, this pharaoh of Egypt, imprisoned him and sent him to Egypt. And verse 34 tells us where Jehoahaz eventually died. Now, while all this was taking place, Necho imposed a heavy task on Judah of 100 talents, and that would be 3 3/4 tons of silver, and a talent, 75 pounds of gold. And we see that in verse 33, a king who did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord. King number 2, verse 34, tells us that Necho made Eliakim another son of Josiah king, and then changed his name to Jehoiakim, which means Yahweh has established. Now, please understand the naming of a person in the ancient Near East as a sovereign prerogative. And so by naming Eliakim, or renaming him, Necho was demonstrating that he controlled Judah. Now, Jehoiakim, who was 25 when he became king, was nothing more than a puppet king who presided over a vassal kingdom under Egypt's rule. For he imposed heavy taxes on the people, and then Jehoiakim paid the money to the Egyptians as required. Let me read verse 35. But he taxed the land to give the money according to the commandment of Pharaoh. He exacted the silver and the gold of the people of the land, of everyone according to his taxation, to give it unto Pharaoh Necho. Now, like his brother Jehoiakim also did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. We see that in verse 37. Maybe we can say he didn't notice disobedience to God didn't work out very well for his older brother. Now, an example of his evil ways is found in Jeremiah chapter 36. And I'd like you to turn there. Jeremiah chapter 36. And let's see the evil that Jehoiakim did. Let me read beginning with verse 22. Now the king sat in the winter house, this is Jehoiakim, in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jehudi read three or four leaves, he cut, this is Jehoiakim, cut it with a penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. He burned a scroll of God's word. Well, in response to this blatant stand against God Almighty, Jeremiah received this message from God. And notice verse 29. And thou shalt say unto Jehoiakim, king of Judah, thus saith the Lord, thou hast burned this roll, saying, why hast thou written therein, saying, the king of Babylon shall certainly come and destroy this land, and shall cause to cease from thence man and beast. Therefore thus saith the Lord of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have none to sit upon the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out in that day to the heat, and in the night to the frost. And I will punish him and his seed and his servants for their iniquity. I will bring upon them and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem and upon the men of Judah all the evil that I have pronounced against them because they hearkened not. Jeremiah further tells us, to all these evils, Jehoiakim also killed Uriah the prophet. And you can find that in Jeremiah chapter 26. Well, Nebuchadnezzar, as Jeremiah prophesied, did come up. In the struggle for power, Egypt on the world scene declined, and Babylon gained dominance by defeating the Egyptian-Assyrian alliance at the Battle of Carchemish on the Euphrates River. And this occurred in 605 BC. And this victory established Babylon as the strongest nation in the Near East and Egypt as a vassal, which also then included Judah, which too passed under Babylonian control. Now later, Nebuchadnezzar, in 605 BC, invaded Judah in order to bring it securely under its rule. And at that time, Nebuchadnezzar, if you'll turn to Daniel chapter 1, took captives to Babylon, which included Daniel and others. Notice verse 1, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes. And those would include Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now Jehoiakim submitted to Nebuchadnezzar for 3 years, but then he revolted, which led to the first Babylonian siege against Judah. And this attack not only included Babylonian and Chaldean forces, But an alliance of Arameans, Moabites, and Ammonites, some of Israel's historic enemies. You'll turn back, and I know I'm giving you lots of information, but this is history. This is what happened. And we'll bring it to hopefully a rightful conclusion in the end. But notice chapter 24, verse 2, and the Lord sent against him the bands of the Chaldees, the bands of the Syrians, the bands of the Moabites, the bands of the children of Ammon, and sent them against Judah to destroy it, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by his servants, the prophets. Again, all these attacks were orchestrated by the Lord. Verse 3 and 4, surely at the commandment of the Lord came this upon Judah, to remove them out of his sight for the sins of Manasseh according to all that he did. And notice verse 4, and I find this interesting. And he also for the innocent blood that he shed, for he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, which the Lord would not pardon. Friends, America is being filled with innocent blood. Let me say it again. America is being filled with innocent blood. You cannot abort 60 million babies and expect God not to judge. God judged Judah because they shed innocent blood. And so, after 11 years as king, Jehoiakim died. He died in 598 BC. And so, the first king we've looked at is Jehoahaz, and he reigned 3 months, and then his brother, Jehoiakim, reigned 11 years. And now I want us to look at king number 3, and that's Jehoiachin. He was an 18-year-old son of Jehoiakim. He, too, reigned only 3 months. And then the last king that we're going to look at is Zedekiah, who reigned 11 years. But Jehoiachin, again, who succeeded his father, Jehoiakim, reigned only 3 months from 598 to 597 BC. And it was during this brief reign that Nebuchadnezzar placed a second siege on the city of Jerusalem. But instead of trying to defend the city, Jehoiachin, verse 12, chapter 24, tells us, went out to the king of Babylon, he and his mother and his servants and his princes and his officers, and the king of Babylon took him in the 8th year of his reign. But in spite of this surrender, Jehoiachin surrendering to Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar used this occasion to take all the treasures of the house of the Lord and from the king's house to Babylon. Verse 13. By the way, all this happened just as the Lord had prophesied to Hezekiah through the prophet Isaiah. And if you recall, we studied this in 2 Kings chapter 20. And Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. Now, besides taking the valuable items from the temple, Nebuchadnezzar also deported people. He took Daniel and his friends during the first deportation. This is the second deportation of Nebuchadnezzar, and you see that in verses 14 through 16 of chapter 24. And he carried away all Jerusalem and all the princes and all the mighty men of valor, even the 10,000 captives and all the craftsmen and smiths. None remained save the poorest sort of the people of the land. And he carried away Jehoiachin to Babylon, and the king's mother, and the king's wives, and his officers, and the mighty of the land, those carried he into captivity from Jerusalem to Babylon. and all the men of might, even 7,000, and craftsmen and smiths, 1,000, all that were strong and apt for war, even from them the king of Babylon brought captive to Babylon. Now, one of the people also captured and taken away at this time of the second siege, was the prophet Ezekiel. When you read the prophet Ezekiel, you know he's in Babylon when he writes his prophecy. Again, it can be said, Babylon became the ruling power in Jerusalem, which meant the glory that was established by Solomon was carried away to Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar made Mattaniah, another son of Josiah, king, and then changed his name to Zedekiah, and he is our fourth king. Zedekiah was just 21 years old when he became king. And he reigned, as I just said, 11 years in Jerusalem, from 597 to 586 B.C. Now, chapter 24, verse 19 tells us, Zedekiah also did evil in the sight of the Lord. Now, Jeremiah's prophecy portrays Zedekiah as a spiritually confusing individual. For example, in Jeremiah chapter 21, he asked God to save Jerusalem, while at the same time he failed to worship the God he was praying to save Jerusalem. In chapter 34 of Jeremiah, he heard and understood the prophet's message, but did not obey it. One author writes, Zedekiah appears to have lacked the consistency of mind and spirit to lead the people. Well, as verse 20 tells us, Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. And this rebellion led to Nebuchadnezzar's third siege of Jerusalem, which took place in 586 and 587 B.C. Let me read to you what happened. Chapter 25, and it came to pass in the ninth year of his reign, in the 10th month, in the 10th day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came, he and all his hosts, against Jerusalem, pitched against it, and they built forts against it round about. And the city was besieged unto the 11th year of the king Zedekiah. And on the 9th day of the 4th month, the famine prevailed in the city, and there was no bread for the people of the land. And the city was broken up, and all the men of war fled by night by the way of the gate between two walls, which is by the king's garden. Now the Chaldees, which were against the city round about, and the king went the way toward the plain. And the army of the Chaldees, or the army of the Babylonians, pursued after the king and overtook him in the plains of Jericho, and all his army were scattered from him. So he took the king and brought him up to the king of Babylon, to Riblah, and they gave judgment unto him. And they slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, and put out the eyes of Zedekiah, and bound him with fetters of brass, and carried him to Babylon. Now, can you imagine the killing of his sons was the last thing Zedekiah saw before he was blinded and taken as a captive to Babylon? I don't even like to think what that must have been like. Well, with the army defeated and the capital city conquered, Nebuchadnezzar sent his representative, captain of the guard, to finish what had been started 2 years earlier. And you can see that in verse 8. But I want to, again, help you to kind of get the big picture of a lot of details that I've given you this morning. I want to give you this to help keep things in chronological order. So let me review for you what we have studied regarding the fall of Jerusalem. And let's understand that the fall of Jerusalem did not come about in one huge event or battle. It took place in stages. And stage number one was Nebuchadnezzar's initial subjection of the city, which took place around 605 B.C., when Jehoiakim was king. How I keep Jehoiakim and Jehoiachin Shin, in chronological order, M comes before N. That helps me. And so this was the time that Daniel and his friends were deported to Babylon, 605 BC. Stage number two was the destruction by Nebuchadnezzar's marauding bands. And this took place in 601 to 598 BC. Stage number three of Jerusalem's fall was the siege of Jerusalem under Nebuchadnezzar's main army on March 6, 597 BC. Jehoiachin was king of Judah at that time. And then stage number four was Nebuchadnezzar's return to completely destroy and depopulate Jerusalem in the summer of 586 BC. And Zedekiah was king at this time. And so really there are three main dates you need to keep in mind for the fall of Jerusalem: 605, 597, and 586 BC. Now, thinking again of these last four kings of Judah, three of them, Jehoahaz, Jehoiakim, and Zedekiah, were again sons of the godly king Josiah, and Jehoiachin was a grandson, which tells us that these kings all had to see and know what a righteous reign looked like, and how God subsequently had blessed such a God-fearing administration. God blessed Josiah because he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. But what these family members failed to do was follow in their father, grandfather's footsteps. They did evil. Each one of them did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. Jehoiahaz, 2 Kings 23, verse 32, did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Jehoiakim, verse 37, did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Jehoiachin, verse 9 of chapter 24, did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Zedekiah, chapter 24, verse 19, did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Rather than follow again in the footsteps of their father's godly example, they chose to revert to the ways of their idolatrous ancestors. And the result? Jehoahaz was taken prisoner to Egypt by Pharaoh Necho. Jehoiakim died as a fairly young man in Jerusalem. Jehoiachin was taken prisoner to Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar. And Zedekiah was also taken captive to Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar. Ladies and gentlemen, we have all seen a family member or a church member who has lived for the Lord. And we have then witnessed God's spiritual blessings on that person. And I'm talking about experiencing then the joy and peace of Christ, of Jesus, even in the midst of trials. You know, you can tell a lot about where you are spiritually by how you respond to the Lord, how you respond to your trials in the midst of those trials. But what is our response when we see godliness, when we see Christ-like examples, perhaps in a family member, in a church member? What is our response to those examples that God has placed before us? Do we obey God and experience life? Or do we do what is evil in God's sight and experience captivity to sin and ultimate spiritual death? You know, God doesn't put godly people in your life just by happenstance. He hasn't put you in Westside, which is a church filled with godly people, for you just to, oh, well, that's nice. I'm glad that person's serving the Lord. What a, you know, that's a nice testimony. He's encouraging you. He's challenging you to follow in those steps. I think of what happens when we do. Blessed, Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Psalm 84:11, the Lord God is a sun and shield. He gives grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them who walk uprightly. Friends, I'm here to encourage you to live godly, to be a Josiah in your family, to be a Josiah in this church, to be a Josiah at work in your community, to live godly in Christ. Now, one more thought as I close. I have spoken to you this morning of the last kings of Judah, but I have good news for you. We can really say these were the last sinful kings of Judah. Because, as I read earlier, Revelation 19:16 tells us that Jesus Christ has on his thigh and on his a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Revelation 5:5 says of him, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and the root of David has prevailed. And of his kingdom there will be no what? End. Of his kingdom there will be no end. Jehoahaz and Jehoiakim reigned 3 months. Jehoiakim and Zedekiah reigned 11 years. But of Jesus' rule and reign there will be, praise God, no end. We sang about rejoicing. I want us to rejoice that Jesus, the Savior, reigns, the God of truth and love. When he hath purged our stains, he took his seat above. Lift up your heart, lift up your voice. Rejoice, again I say, rejoice.